Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, thank you oh so much for the many blessings you've already given us this day. And now, once again, the awesome opportunity to get back into your word. Help us now as we study to understand it, apply it in the right way, and draw close to you and build our faith and trust in you and in your word. And encourage us to go out and share it with others as well. Thank you oh so much for all of us. We pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Last week we honored Resurrection Sunday, Easter, and today I'd like to get into some of the verses that pertain to what happened afterwards. We don't think much about that. They don't preach much about that, about what he did after he rose from the grave. We don't have a lot of details, but we'll cover some of the things that we have here. And know that he stuck around some 40 days preaching and teaching. We don't have a record of much of what he taught. There's speculation about where he went, how many people he reached, whether he went around the entire planet, reaching other people in the world. Speculation, as I say, we don't have any record of that preserved for us. But it would make sense that he would go and present the gospel to everyone during that 40 days there, risen Christ. And because he made a reference to having sheep that were not of that fold, meaning of the Jewish descendants, and he meant that it was to whosoever, because that was the gift was to whosoever. So that we'll look at a little bit of this, and in doing so, we'll see the Easter Sunday as well in these verses. But we know at the end of his time, he was speaking to the disciples, and one of the things that he was teaching and speaking was found over in Matthew chapter 28. Verse 18, where Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. This reference to all power given to him is returned to him. Because when he came down to take on flesh, he had to set aside, lay aside some of his majesty, you might say, some of his power and authority in order to humble himself to, and also to be able to take on all the sins of all mankind. He became human in that form. But after his resurrection, he was given back all of that power and even more, because then he has the power and authority to judge, to determine whether someone's going to be with him for eternity or in the lake of fire for eternity. That power, that authority came upon Jesus Christ as a result of what he has done for us. All the pain and suffering that he went through and take on all the filthy sins of all mankind, past, present, and future on that cross. And as it continues in verse 19, an instruction given to the disciples, which also goes to all of those that are believers, that all of those that proclaim that they are Christ-like in the form of being a Christian, is given this great commission, a task, an opportunity to serve the Lord in such a way as it reads, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And it's awesome to know that he is with us. He is going to stay with us. He's going to protect us. And he gives us that great commission there. And that great commission was given after his resurrection. Let's back up and look at the beginning of chapter Let's back up and look at the beginning of Matthew chapter 28, where it speaks right from the resurrection day. It reads, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and set upon it. I saw a recent presentation on the History Channel about the tombs and so forth, and they had just a bunch of small stones stacked up in front of a tomb, and they didn't do just small stones. They rolled a big stone over, and it would have to be something that would be moved by multiple people, not just one. They did that to keep people from raiding and stealing from the graves. So this was a huge stone. It reads, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door. So he took the power of the angel to roll that stone, because the way it was designed is it would be at a slope, and the stone would roll downhill into its position. So to remove that stone out of that position took a lot more power than it did to put it in the position to cover the entrance of, this, of the tomb. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not, ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. Multiple times the Lord taught them and told them that he would rise again. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. It's awesome that he gave that task to the women, the first missionaries to go out and spread the gospel of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Verse 9, And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him to secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught, and this saying is commonly reported among the Jews unto this day. Notice they bribed these soldiers that was given the task of standing there and protecting it. Those that trembled in fear when the angel came and rolled that stone back, bribed them to tell that lie that the disciples came and stole Jesus. But notice one of the little side notes here about, And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. Because if someone was to be asleep at the post and found asleep, the sentence was death for them. So they're bribing them and saying, don't worry about it, tell this lie and we'll secure you and won't let you kill you for being asleep on the post. Verse 15 again, So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews unto this day. And we wonder, is that still being taught today over there? When this was recorded, it was saying it was still being taught, which would have been about 30-some years after it happened. And now it's probably still commonly taught because there are Orthodox Jews that don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But that wasn't the end of it. Jesus stayed around 40 days and being seen of many people. As it continues, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Seeing the risen Jesus Christ, the disciples that were following him, that was listening and hearing him, and seeing the miracles, and looking right at him, still doubted. It's a shame that they had that in them. But we can't be too hard on the disciples at the time, or the apostles even at the time, because they had not been indwelt with the Holy Ghost, which would give them a true revelation and understanding of the truth when they see it. And then as we read earlier in verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And that is awesome. That account recorded there in the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew was a tax collector, a publican, that was saved and brought in to be part of the chosen 12 apostles. A great honor. And he went on to do much great work for the Lord. But now let's look at another one. The Gospel of Mark. Mark is an interesting fellow. Mark is a was a young man, a very young man actually, at the time of the arrest of Jesus Christ. In the account where we see they grabbed onto the young man and he ran away, that they grabbed the clothes, or actually the cover that he had on himself and he ran away, that is actually Mark. In the depictions of the Last Supper, the upper room references, those were in the house of Mark, in Mark's home. So Mark, you can imagine this young man sitting around watching and seeing and listening and all this stuff. And then Mark becomes a great disciple of the Lord as he grows up. And he writes the Gospel of Mark here that we see. And looking at his account in Mark chapter 16, pick it up in verse 9. Now when Jesus was risen, early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. Even though the Lord had told them over and over what was going to happen. And now they have an eyewitness telling them, didn't believe. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. That, of course, is the two that was on the road to Emmaus. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart. That upbraided means he criticized them or scolded them. Why haven't you believed? Why don't you believe? I told you over and over, you have witnesses and you're still doubting. And upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Preach and teach and spread the gospel to everyone, not just to the children of Israel. See, when he had given them the task and appointed them as apostles, he sent them out to the children of Israel because of the prophecies, to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. So now he's given them the instruction to everyone. It reads, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Some blessings given to the apostles. A gift given to them. This ability to be bitten by a venomous snake and just sling it off like Paul did. Given to the apostles. Not given to all believers, but given specifically to the apostles. Many have misunderstood this and saying, well, this was something that everyone gets when they are filled with the Holy Ghost. Then they can handle snakes and they can drink strychnine and they can do all this stuff and speak in tongues. And then that shows that they are Christian and filled with the Holy Ghost. No. The Lord gave specific blessings, specific gifts for people for a purpose, not just to stand up and show off and show everybody how holy and righteous they are and how great they are because they are so holy and righteous. No, that's used for the wrong way. That's selfishness. That's piety. That's arrogance. Don't have anything to do with that. But here it was given to the apostles specifically because it was going to be such a challenge to start the New Testament church. As it reads in verse 19, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Now this was 40 days after his resurrection that he was ascended up. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. So that's how Mark records that. As we say, if you look at all the Gospels, it's the harmony of the Gospels. You take all of it and you put it together. It's like a jigsaw puzzle. You've got all these pieces, you put it together, the more pieces you plug in there, the clearer the picture is. So let's now look over at the Gospel of Luke. Now Luke, there again, was not one of the apostles. Luke was actually an associate of Paul. Paul, being on his journey in his mission field, encountered Luke. Luke was actually a physician that assisted Paul with some of his physical problems that Paul had. And he was very intelligent, well-spoken. He's credited for also writing the book of Hebrews, but not confirmed. But here we see the account recorded by the disciple Luke. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. Now, the spices was frankincense and myrrh. And these were the things that was given to Jesus at his nativity, and also used here. Now, the frankincense and myrrh were put upon the body to slow down the decay and the smell of a decaying body. And they would anoint bodies like that. But they had to wait until Sunday, the first day of the week, to do this. Because Saturday, the seventh day, is the holy day of Passover, the Sabbath. So they couldn't do it on the Sabbath. It would be considered work, even rolling the stone away. So they came the first day of the week, which is Sunday. And that's why we have our worship services on Sunday, honoring the day of resurrection, the seventh day. Verse 2, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. It reads, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Amen to that. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee? He once again reminded them. He told you this was going to happen. He's saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. Note here, Luke includes the other women. It wasn't just Mary by herself. There was others with her. Multiple witnesses and seeing and hearing. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. The apostles didn't believe it. After experiencing everything that they had experienced, they still did not believe. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulcher, and stooping down, he beheld the linen cloths laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went that same day to the village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. Now we see an incident where the Lord appears to two people. And he appears to them in a form, or shadows his image, you might say, protects his identity from them so that they don't know exactly who he is when he's walking with them. That's why Mark was referring to it in another form. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. He kept it away from them at that time because he wanted to talk to them a little bit and find out what they knew or what they trusted and believed, rather. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them whose name was Cleopas, answering said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? Interesting the way he knew good and well what was, because he was a part of it, but he's testing them. What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people. No, they're calling Jesus a prophet instead of the Son of God, not yet understanding and believing that. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that he had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Notice, all that the prophets have spoken. And that's one of the things that he kept talking about, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the others, the higher ups, that they had been given the prophets, they had been given the scriptures, but they did not study them or know them or accept or believe them. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So he went back and brought out and told them all the various prophecies and scriptures that pertain to his coming and his finished work and his death, burial, and resurrection. And it drew nigh unto the village where they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. Notice the blessing, which gives us this same ordinance, you might say, that we should always give a blessing, always bless the food. Because their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Notice, vanished out of their sight. Power of all creation, even to be standing in one place and then to not stand there and stand someplace else, just instantaneous. Because he controls all the molecules of all existence. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up in the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon being Simon Peter. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. Because he just formed right there in front of them. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. Notice he says flesh and bones. Normally when you're talking about the body, you say flesh and blood. But he says flesh and bones. Why? Because he shed all his blood for the remission of sins. And while they were yet And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. His spirit's not going to consume food in such a manner. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Once again, pointing out, the Old Testament shines a light on the future of the events of Jesus Christ, what he has done, even what he is going to do. Prophesied, fulfilled, intricate details given and fulfilled in the same manner, which gives us that trust in the entire Word of God that he has preserved for us. Then opened he their understanding. Notice, he opened their understanding, which is what we receive from the Holy Ghost when we trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He begins to teach us as we mature and grow. He gives us that much more and more. Then opened he their understanding and that they might understand the Scriptures. And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Just like prophesied to the Jews first, then to the Gentile, to the whole world. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Now this is talking about the Holy Ghost coming to them. Not yet received this, even though he's opened their eyes and their understanding, they're not yet indwelt with the Holy Ghost. That will happen 10 days after his ascension. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. That account recorded by Luke, a physician that was an associate of Paul's, that was on his mission journeys with him and had witnessed a lot himself personally, but had gathered information from the apostles and eyewitnesses and wrote the Gospel of Luke. Now, next time we'll get into the Gospel of John, because this is actually going to be multiple lessons, possibly. Depends on how long-winded the preacher gets. But we'll hit this again next week and see more about what Jesus Christ did after his resurrection. Because it wasn't just being resurrected and then he took off right up to heaven and that was it. No, stuck around 40 days, as we see a reference to that in the Scriptures. He was seen of over 500 people at one time, many that were alive when this was recorded for us. And it's amazing that there are people that still yet doubt and don't believe, but yet there were so many eyewitnesses, prophesied, things prophesied and fulfilled, that we can look back and trust in the complete and total Word of God that he has preserved for us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we truly thank you for what you have done for us, what you are doing for us, and what you continue to do us for us and will do for us in the future. You have so much mercy, so much grace that you've poured upon us. We truly thank you for that. We thank you, oh, so much for paying that ultimate price to buy all of us back out of sin. Help us all have that realization that we need to go out and be the kind of person you want us to be, to walk the way you want us to walk, because you have so much to give us. And we truly know that it is by grace. We sure don't deserve any of it. Thank you, oh, so much for it, as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. If you would, please